good. And when we do that, there's a joy that the Lord gives us because of our relationship with Him. Now, there's a difference between happiness and joy. Right. Happiness has a lot to do with our current circumstances. And the things that we're able to enjoy just being out and about enjoying our home, enjoying our family. There's something about the happiness there, but then there's joy only comes when you have a right relationship with God.
Yeah.
Okay. Not everybody gets to experience that. Everybody gets to experience happiness sometimes, but not everybody gets to experience joy because they don't have that right relationship. A few weeks ago, we preached on Habakkuk's formula for joy. Do you remember what that formula was?
Fess up.
Look up.
Look up.
Fess up. Lift up. Well, you missed one. Listen up. And then lift up the name of Jesus. But after number three, listen up, write down, record what the Lord tells you, record what you've been going through, so that there will be a time when you can go back and do you remember bad things more or good things more?
Probably bad things.
Do you remember negative more or positive more?
I probably remember negative.
Most people remember the negative more. And that's what we dwell on, is the negative. This passage of Scripture in Philippians 4:8 talks about, start thinking about the good things. We're going to get there. Okay? Today, we're going to be talking about a subject about escaping from prison. Paul was in prison. And when he was writing this letter of Philippians, now you would not know it, because of his attitude.
Right.
You wouldn't know he was in prison. Now, I don't know where he was in prison. It really doesn't matter. The prisons then were not like the prisons that we experience in the United States. Matter of fact, some months ago, there was a kid, a homeless guy sleeping on the steps out here, and he threw a brick and busted our window. And when the cops called me and I came by, the guy was still here, and he said I wanted to get in jail because I get 3 meals and a bed. Well, the problem was that they weren't accepting anybody because of the COVID thing. And so he did not get his wish. And so, you know, we have the window where it will eventually get fixed. So don't worry about it. We got tape on it. It's good.
Long since it's duct tape.
Long since, yeah. So, today we're going to talk about a prison break. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you've ever been in prison. But honestly, truthfully, all of us have been in prison either mentally or emotionally, if not physically. That we've been in dungeons of despair. We've been in cesspools of worry, discouragement, depression, despair. We've been in a lot of different situations where there has been darkness, and we are imprisoned. But Paul tells us this morning how to escape the prisons. Okay, and that's what we're going to be talking about. I was listening to John MacArthur the other day, and he was saying that when Paul went to a town to preach the gospel of Christ, he did not check out the motel accommodations. He checked to see what the accommodations were in jail, because he knew that's where he was going to wind up. Practically every place he went, he was thrown in jail. And so he was kind of used to it. And throughout his tenure in jail, he found a way to escape prison. And again, the prison that he encountered was not like the modern day prisons we have here in the United States. When I was, some years ago, I went to Peru. And one of the visits I was to have made was at a woman's prison. I had Grandy with me. We were going to go to the woman's prison and do some, you know, preach the gospel. But for some reason, they wouldn't allow us that day. Something had happened and they would not allow us to go in. But I learned that what often the women who were there who had children, the children had nothing to eat, so the children would oftentimes come into the prison system with them. And the women got a small portion of food each day, and in that small portion they could give their children to eat. Horrible situations. Paul was in a horrible situation. Again, you wouldn't know it by reading Philippians. But I want us to stand together right now and let's read Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. You memorized Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, not long ago. I'll try to get over here. And let's, if it pulls up, Laura, go ahead. And if you can see that, read it with me. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Bob, would you pray for me as I... Bobby, would you pray for me, please, as I pray on? Amen. Thank you. So these verses give us a clue into Paul's joyful attitude. And I believe if we follow his pattern, we too can walk in freedom from our prisons. The first thing I want you to look at is that verse 4, chapter 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. And then in verse 5, it says, if I let your gentleness be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. So no matter what you're going through, no matter what difficulties you face, how many of you are facing difficulties right now? You need to remember that the Lord is with you. That the Lord's presence is there. Paul may have felt like he was all alone in prison. He was in a dungeon. It was dark, oftentimes chained. But he remembered this, that the Lord was with him. And the first thing we need to do is to rejoice that the Lord is with us. When you are in that situation where you're in that prison, we need to remember that the Lord is with us. So I was visiting Actually, whenever I went over to St. Vincent's the other day, they allowed Hope and I to go in to see Keith together. Praise the Lord. Which was not normal during this season. And one of the things that Keith told me, he said, Pastor, I don't want to die alone. I want somebody to be with me. And I assured him, he said, and I know the Lord will be with me. I know the Lord will be with me. But sometimes we know it, but we don't experience it. And I told him, I said, Keith, you're going to experience the Lord in a way that you've never experienced Him before. It's not just going to be a head knowledge. There's some, He's going to show Himself to you. I believe that with all my heart. And you're not going to die alone. It just so happened that when he passed away, Hope was with him yesterday. So praise the Lord. Answer to prayer. Answer to prayer. There was a friend of mine who lives in McMinnville, whose dad was passing away. This has been a few years ago. His name is Dennis Cooper. He said, I told my dad, Dad, I know you're weak. I know you're going to heaven pretty soon. But would you do this for me? When Jesus shows up, would you just stick your thumb up like that? And he was sitting by his bed during his last breath, then his thumb went up. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And his testimony was one of the things that assured me I knew I could tell Keith that. I knew that because of what I had been shared. And I also knew that because of what Scripture says. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will always be there. Even when you don't feel Him, even when you don't see Him, when you don't even know if you can experience Him, He will always be there. Paul knew that. Paul knew that. And he began to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord because you are here. You are here, Lord. I feel alone, but I know you're here. So I'm going to rejoice in you regardless. I will rejoice in you. When we get into those dark places, we need to remember to rejoice in the Lord. He will pull us out of the darkness if we learn to rejoice in the Lord. Number one, rejoice in the Lord. I want a passage of Scripture in Psalm 139. Listen to this. He says, I can never escape you from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, there you are. If I go to the grave, there you are. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell on the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness, I can't hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand, and when I wake up, you are still with me. Isn't that precious? David experienced the presence of the Lord. He had some dark days. If you know his story, there was a lot of dark days David had. But yet, he knew and was assured of the presence of the Lord. You can't, even if you tried, you couldn't get away from Him, David said. It's not possible. It's not possible. Number two, you need to rest assured. This thing is bothering me. I'm going to set it right over here. Somebody's cough drop kicked sticking to my thing. So, the second thing, you need to put in your, I started to say bonnet, that's an old thing, put in your mind is that you need to rest assured that the Lord is listening when you pray. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. When you pray, God is listening. God is listening. You remember we talked about Habakkuk, look up, fess up. Paul learned from him. Okay? Look up, fess up. Tell him what's on your heart. Tell him what's on your mind. Tell him what's going on in your life as if your life depended on it. Because it does. Tell him what's bothering you. Tell him what's worrying you. There was a song, and some of you younger people don't know it. There was a song years ago called Don't Worry, Be Happy. You remember that? We could sing it, but we're not gonna. I'm sure Tom could really do a good job with it. So here's what Paul is saying. You don't just do a surface prayer. You do business with the Lord. And you talk about the things that are on your heart until your heart is free. Talk about the things that are on your heart. You know, a lot of times, Lord, I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Da-da-da. Amen. And sometimes that's the way our prayers are. Lord, I just want to throw this up to you and hope you catch it. But here's what Paul is saying. If you want the Lord to hear you, then you need to get real with Him. You need to pray from the depths of your being about what is concerning you. And this is what he says. I guarantee you, if you do that, God's peace will permeate your life. So you rest assured that the Lord is listening to your prayers. Behavioral psychologists have told us this about worry. I'm getting out of your way so you can see the board. 40% of what we worry about never happens. True. 30% has already gone past and worry can't change it. 12% is needless worry about health. 10% of the things we worry about are miscellaneous matters that don't deserve worry. And only about 8% of the things that remain could be counted worthy of worry if you're a worrier. But if those, they could be divided into two categories. One category is those things that you can do something about, and those things you can't do something about. So number one, if you can do something about it, do it. Number two, if you can't do anything about it, quit worrying about it. A lot of you are worried about the election. Can you do something about it? Vote and pray. What if it doesn't come out the way you want it to? Lord, have mercy.
Lord will help.
We're going to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Because our saving doesn't depend on the next president. I am not depending upon our government system to save us. Right? God can do what He wants. God has a plan. God has a purpose. And even if things go against His plan, He's still going to work it out. What? Can God's plan not work? You remember a fellow named Saul? Okay, so let me explain to you. The kingdom of Israel needed a king, they thought. And God said, no, I want to be your king. And the kingdom of Israel said, no, we want a king like all the other nations. And so they kept getting, and God said, okay, have it your way. That was not God's plan. That was not God's will. But he gave them a nation, he gave them a king after their own heart. That's kind of scary, isn't it? They gave them a king after their own heart. Now, there was... alarms going off. Prophets proclaiming. Samuel particularly was telling the children of Israel, do not have a king. And yet, they went ahead anyway, and God said, okay, give them what they want. That was not God's plan. But he gave them their heart's desire. And that's what I'm afraid of regarding America. But even if God is on the throne, amen, and he's going to work his plan, his plan is to save souls.
Yep. That's right.
And he can do that in the worst circumstances.
Amen.
That's his plan. The enemy is not going to mess up God's plan of saving souls.
Amen.
But we have to be a part of that.
That's right.
Right? Rejoice in the Lord always. Rest assured that he's listening to your prayers. And number three, receive the peace of God. Number three, receive the peace of God. I got my numbers out of order, so forgive me. That should be three. I had as I was preparing my PowerPoint this morning, I had a visitor and had to work through some things with him, and so I didn't get everything done I wanted to do. Anyway, just change that to three. Receive the peace of God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Listen, if anybody knew what he was talking about, it was Paul. And basically what he's saying is, listen, I'm giving you a pathway to joy when you're in the deepest, darkest prison imaginable. You think he knew what he was talking about? Oh, buddy. He knew what he was talking about. And so he's telling us, he was telling the church at Philippi, he was telling each one of God's children, hey, listen, you don't have to stay down. You don't have to stay discouraged. You don't have to stay in the darkness. You don't have to stay in the dungeon.
That's right.
The Lord wants to lift you up. The Lord wants to lift you up. So will you rejoice in the Lord always? Will you rest assured that He's listening to your prayers? And will you pray until the peace of God comes? How much peace does God have? Enough to go around. And he said, the peace of God that passes all understanding, the peace of God which I can't even explain, there are no words to describe it. The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. If you had God's peace, do you think you would know it? Paul says, if you pray, releasing these things to the Lord, then the peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. You will experience the peace of God like you've never experienced it before, and you can know that you know that you know that you know that God's got it in control. You don't know how it's going to turn out. However it does, it's going to be good. Okay? You need to know it. If you're in a prison right now, I'm encouraging you. Paul is encouraging you. You don't have to stay there. You can get out if you follow His path. Because the Lord wants to give you His peace. God wants to give you His peace, a peace that passes all understanding. And the last thing I want to call to your attention that Paul says is that you've got to rewire your thinking. You've got to rewire your thinking. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think about these things. Did you know that you can choose what you think about? You can choose what you're going to think about. Oh man, I just got to take another pill because I'm so anxious, so in despair because of this election. I got to take another pill. I need another pill. What if God was your pill? What if the Lord would give you what you needed whenever you expressed your heart to Him? What if? I'm going to say this. When I was in Haiti, doing some pastors' conferences in Haiti, one of the pastors who was in the assembly shared with us that the people will go seek voodoo before they seek God. And the reason they do is because voodoo works quicker. You know, sometimes the Lord is more concerned about our heart issues than He is about our physical issues. And we can get a quick fix. Or we can go before the Lord. And we can let Him search. David said, "Search my heart, O God, and see if there's any wicked way in me." I don't know what he was going through at the time. Well, I do too. But oftentimes when we have situations come up, we need to ask the Lord that question. Search me, O God, and see if there's any wicked way in me. Search my heart. Search my heart. God is more concerned about you living a righteous life, a life that's pleasing to Him, than He is about you chilling out. Seek the Lord. Get your heart right with Him. Let Him minister to your soul. Rewire your thinking. There's a book I would recommend called The Insanity of God. That's a weird name, isn't it? The Insanity of God. I'll tell you a little bit about one of the interviews that Nick Ripken had with a pastor in Russia. Dmitry was just a dad, a few children, wife. They were Christian. They was raised in a Christian home. He was a Christian. But the church that they would like to attend or had attended was a three-day walk away from his home. No church nearer. So they got to go about twice a year. And one day Dmitry says to his wife, "What if we had maybe once a week a Bible study time, Bible story for our kids, and we could open..." And so they said, "Yeah, that'd be great." She said she had been praying for that for many years, and finally he took up the Bible and started doing it. And so Dmitry would gather his family around, and they would have a Bible story. And then one of the kids said, "Well, why don't we sing some of the songs that we sing at church?" And they said, "Okay, we'll Let's do that. And so sometimes the kids would lead the songs and they would sing. And it became such a wonderful thing in their lives that they began looking forward to it every week. And so as they were singing and proclaiming the word in their little group, the windows were open, the houses are really close together. And so as they were singing and praising the Lord together and reading the word and telling Bible stories, neighbors were listening. And pretty soon, their house had 25 people in it. And they were just singing and praising the Lord and preaching the word. And the authorities came and said, I'm warning you, this cannot continue. So you need to put an end to it. And Demetrius said, I'm not ordained, I'm not a pastor, I'm just a dad doing this. So pretty soon, it grew to 50. And again, they came and warned him. And when it grew to 75, they came and told him that if you don't stop this, I'm going to be taking you to prison. And a little lady out of the crowd of 75 said they were cheek to cheek in this room, people hanging out the windows listening. A little lady got up in the congregation and went up to the authority and pointed her finger in his face and said, you leave my pastor alone or you're going to die. That was on a Tuesday. Wow. On Thursday, he was dead of a heart attack. Wow. Leave your pastor alone. So they came, the authorities took him, put him in prison. 17 years. He was the only Christian in this prison of 1,500 inmates. But he said he did. There were two disciplines that his dad taught him that he would do every day. And one of the disciplines was that every morning at sunrise, he would stand and he would raise his arms in his cell and he would sing a harp song to the Lord. Same heart song every day for 17 years. He'd sing this heart. Said other inmates were not there. None of them are Christian, and they're banging their cups against the bars, and sometimes even throwing feces at him and cursing him and slurring it. But every morning, he'd get up, raise his arms, and would sing a heart song to the Lord. The second discipline was that every time he had an opportunity, he found a little piece of paper. He would write down every scripture that he could on that little piece of paper. He would turn it over, write it on there. He had a little stub of pencil or sometimes even a piece of charcoal. And he would write that as small as he could, he would write the scripture that he could recall on that scripture. One day, and every time he would do it, there, right outside his cell was a stone, kind of, I guess, a monument kind of thing, and it was always wet, and so he would take his paper and he would stick it to that little stone as a praise offering to the Lord. And every time the soldiers would find, the guards would find that piece of paper, they would take him and they would beat him mercilessly. But every day, he would sing a song. As often as he could, he would write a scripture and post it on that stone. One time, after a severe beating, he was out in the yard, and he said, God gave me something. He said, I found a whole piece of paper. And not only did he give me a whole piece of paper, but there was a pencil lying beside it. And he said, I went back to my cell, and I started writing as much as I could as a praise offering to the Lord. And when I'm finished, I stuck it on my stone as a sacrifice to the Lord. Well, the guards saw it. And they said, this is a crime worth execution. They took him out of his cell. When they took him out of his cell, the 1,500 inmates started singing his song. And the guards let go of him and fell back and said, who are you? What have you done? And a few days later, they released him from prison. Know what you're going through. God knows. God knows. And He cares. And He wants you to call upon Him. He wants you to trust Him even in the darkest hours. Because there's a way out. There's a way out. Paul says it's through prayers. It's through praise. It's through letting God hear your heart. It's about rewiring your brain to begin thinking positively and not negatively. I've been reading a book. I would recommend this book too. It's by Ben Carson. And it's entitled, God Gave You a Brain. Or, You Have a Brain. You Have a Brain. And did you know that he said that they can do operations on brains, and the brain is the only center in your body that doesn't feel pain. And they can, well, it's not your brain. He said they can do surgery on a brain without any anesthesia or anything like that. People are awake as you're doing surgery on the brain. And there was this one lady who had seizures like 50 a day on medication. And every time she had have a seizure, it would take her down physically more and more and more. And so he determined that the only way to stop the seizures was to take out half her brain. 21-year-old girl going to college. So they did the surgery, took out half her brain. They didn't know if she would be able to speak. When she came to the other side of her brain, took over the responsibilities of the left side of the brain. And she, as soon as she woke up, she began speaking. Before her surgery, when she was in college, she was making C's and D's. After her surgery, she went back to college making A's and B's. Isn't that crazy? How God has wired us. Created us. I tell you that story to let you know that I don't care how you can say, you may say I'm a dummy. You may say, I can't remember scripture. You may say, I can't do this, I can't do that. But what I can tell you is that the Lord says to rewrite your brain and make every time you have a negative thought, you need to renounce it. You need to get away from it. And you need to replace it with a positive thought. When my kids were growing up, my wife, sometimes they would get in little spats, call each other names. And every time, my wife would say, you said one negative thing, you have to say three positive things about them. And that's the way it were broke. They didn't like to say positive things or whatever. But it's so easy to hang on to the negative. It's so easy to hang on to the negative. But Paul said, listen, if you want to get out of prison, you got to rewrite what you're thinking. You've got to rewrite it. So which trail are you going to go down? Which trail are you going to go down? Are you in prison today? I got a minute. I'll share this with you. Before I go there, your thinking comes from three sources: God, self, or Satan. God, self, or Satan. Sometimes it helps to know who you're listening to. Because the enemy will do everything he can to feed you negative, to feed you untruths, to feed you lies. And oftentimes we listen to him rather than listening to God. So who are you listening to? Sometimes, and I say self because sometimes we come up with our own ideas. Oh, I'd love to buy a new truck. I would love to buy a new truck. Really love to buy a new truck. I would love to have some rental properties. You know, every time, and so oftentimes, not often, I kind of don't do it anymore. Because the Lord has kind of said, this is your path. You know, there was a time when I would pray, a property would come open, and I would say, Lord, I would really like to have that property, da-da-da-da-da-da. He'd say, no. What? But it'd be a good idea. I'd try to convince him. You know, you've done it too. Yeah, you've done it. I kind of try to convince. Those are my ideas. Lord, I remember one time I said, Lord, I'd like to buy this handmade guitar. I was in Idaho. He said, nope. Man, I convinced him. I bought it. And I moved to Mississippi. It made out of cedar. And when it got down in the humidity, it just splintered. It split. I learned, probably ought to listen to what God says. I have my own ideas, but sometimes they're not good ideas. So when you get down a negative trail, that's not God speaking. It may be you, it may be the enemy. The enemy can put a lot in your mind. The enemy can put a lot in your mind. He can remind you of things of your past. So listen to the Lord. I want you to come out of prison. I don't want you to stay in prison, mentally or emotionally or even physically. I want you to come out of prison, but in order to do that, we need to follow Paul's path. You need to follow Paul's path to do it. Come out of prison. And the second thing is, this morning, you may be imprisoned to sin and guilt and shame because of the things that you've done in your past, and you don't know how to get free from that. And I want you to know Jesus came to set the captive free. He came to set the captive free. So if you are here this morning and don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you are weighed down by the sin of your past, Jesus says, I want to take that off you. But you have to give your heart to Him. And the way you do that is through prayer, just like Paul was talking about. The way you do it is through prayer. You just tell God what's up in your heart. Tell Him that you need Him. Ask His forgiveness and put your trust in Jesus Christ. That's every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you do not know that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but you would like to have, and you feel like you are imprisoned maybe to sin and to self, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Someone else. Thank you. Anyone else? I feel in my spirit there's more, but if you don't want to acknowledge that, that's okay. Just a moment more. Anyone else? Okay, this is what I want you to do. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I want you to pray out loud, but I'm going to ask the congregation to pray with you to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Because you'll never escape sin, death, and hell until you receive Christ. So congregation, pray with us. Dear Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner. And I feel like I'm imprisoned. I am captivated by these things that are in my life. And I want freedom. You said, Jesus, that you would set the captive free. So, dear Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my life, for my wayward life, for the things that I've done that have displeased you. I know that Jesus is God's Son, that you died for me, that you rose again. I give my life to you. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I give you my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand. We're going to have an invitation. And if that prayer, if you meant that sincerely from your heart, I would like for you to do one of two things. I would either like for you to come and talk to me at the front. I want you to take your communication card, which is in your seat, and make note of that. Say that you want to get in touch with me, and I will get in touch with you so that we can talk about this. Maybe you have questions. I would like to visit with you. So take your communication card and put it in the offering plate at the end of service. Let's stand together as we sing.